4, hour number 4. Matt Smith and Josh Dover riding with you till 2 o'clock. Zach Byam, Philip Lindsay, they'll take over at 2. They're the drive, and they will get you home. We were talking about the Jerry Jeudy deal. We're going to get back to that because a few of you guys have some awesome texts rolling in on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Also some fun stuff that people want Matt to ask Dion. We will get to that coming up in a moment. Real quick, I just saw this, and again, I saw it at DenverSports.com this morning, reading, prepping for the show, about the Broncos touching base is how it was described with Kirk Cousins and really Kirk's agent, Matt. And as it was written and I was reading, it was, hey, yeah, we touched base. We found out what the number was going to be, what they were looking at, and then we were quickly out of that conversation. All of that makes sense. My brain went, well, why'd you even touch base? I knew what the number was going to be. I knew that you guys were out of it, and I don't even work inside of the building. Was there a thought, a conversation maybe even had between Sean Payton and Cody Rager or George Payton or maybe Sean Payton and himself at a parking lot just hanging out of, well, you know what? Maybe we can be competitive in 2024, which led to them kicking the tires on Kirk Cousins.
I don't know how many more times we need to hear George Payton say, we do due diligence on everybody. I'm always making calls. That's his job to make calls.
Yeah.
I imagine it was a pretty short call. But yeah, I bet they did reach out to Kirk Cousins. Why? Because Sean does want to win now. Sean really doesn't want to wait around. And Kirk was the top quarterback on the free agent, you know, to-be market. Mm-hmm. So it would have been irresponsible of them not to do their due diligence, and I know they did.
All right, and that's it. That's all you really look into. It's not a ton. It's not a why would they? I mean, that's kind of where I'm out of. I guess if you're just doing your due diligence, you make the phone call to say, I want you to tell me the price tag so I can, in red marker, cross you off the list.
It tells me a couple things, but they were things I feel like I already knew. It may be a rebuild, but they don't want it to be a rebuild for too long.
Okay.
If it could be a one-year rebuild, that's what they would prefer, which is why they're loading up to get a bunch of cap space next year. Sean doesn't want to sit around and take it on the chin for 2 years. Sean, you won't like Sean when he's angry. I just think that this is a situation where you've got a coach who's at his last stop as an NFL coach, and he wants to, you know, be successful with it because he's also got a legacy to think about. Russ wasn't the only one in that building that cared about image.
You're absolutely right about that.
And I think if Sean had his druthers, well, I'll say this. If you didn't have to deal with Russ's dead cap, maybe Kirk could have been it then.
Yeah, and I think it would have been a much bigger play if you didn't have to deal with it. Or they ate the 53 up front. I actually think that's the right play. Again, I think you and I are on the same thinking of what this season's going to look like. You'd have had 20 more million to play with, and they're looking at about 40 million to be able to go and play with right now, today on March 19th. But they chose that way, and it's the right way. All right, I want to read some of these texts. These are good. This might be my favorite one from the Chad, or from the Chad. It's from Chad in the 303.
Okay.
I don't think you want to be the Chad.
The Chad.
You know? Isn't Chad like
it's a name.
Yeah, but it's like you're kind of a bag.
I guess.
You know, like, I don't know. Chad.
Not every Chad I know is that way. Chad Andrus works at the station.
Yeah,
great guy.
Yeah. He can be mean from time to time.
Yeah?
Yeah, I guess I only know 3 Chads, and they're all good people, with Andrus being one of them. Myers and Watson, the other two.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
Chad Myers was our...
I'm glad we got that. I'm glad we got that straight.
Let's power rank Chads.
That was important.
Let's power rank the Chads in your life and the power ranks in my life. All right. Well, Chad in the 303
our
says...
Our Chad bracket.
Yeah. With this Jeudy deal in Cleveland, we now know how Seattle felt when we gave Russ his deal.
I guess.
That's spot on, man. We think it's crazy because we know who Jerry Jeudy is. They knew who Russell Wilson was, and it turned out they were right.
Well, somebody is speculating here that the contract is just rolled into his fifth-year option, which the Broncos already picked up last year, and that fifth-year option's about 12.9 fully guaranteed. So you'd be only technically adding $28 million guaranteed on top of it. I mean, it's still a lot, but that also makes sense. I mean, Jeudy's not... It's not like he's unplayable. I mean, he's not a great receiver, but it's not like he's unplayable.
True, though. I don't know that that's true, because they converted his salary into a signing bonus.
This is just speculation.
Okay.
Yeah, but the point is that he was going to get 12.9 either way. Yes, whether or not it was against the cap is a different story. But maybe it's not as big of a contract as it seems, but to rope it all in, maybe it kind of has to be repackaged. Okay. Either way, if you didn't hear the news coming from Ian Rappaport, Jerry Jeudy gets a 3-year up to $58 million deal with 41 fully guaranteed from the Cleveland Browns.
That is a ton of money and a really, really interesting play from the Cleveland Browns. They did make the playoffs. A couple people are telling us that. Yeah, we know they made the playoffs, but Jerry wasn't on the team. Deshaun wasn't on the team. It was Joe Flacco that got them to the postseason, and he's no longer on the team either. So
this is such a heavy receiver draft. I go back to, I'm having a real hard time understanding why you would do that. You make him play out the final year of his deal. What are you worried? You're going to lose Jeudy in free agency because you gave up a fifth and a sixth for him? If you are, I mean, maybe we understand more about the Cleveland Browns now and sure. Why they haven't won in a gazillion years or ever.
Yeah, I don't think that many people are knocking on the door. In fact, it was the Browns that were offering, what was it, reported a fifth and a third at the trade deadline a year ago, and it was it. The Browns were calling about Jerry Jeudy.
They made the playoffs, but it was almost like an experimental team made the playoffs because they weren't going to until Flacco came in and was hotter than the surface of the sun. You know, the December that Joe Flacco put together this last season was one of the best months by a quarterback in NFL history.
I did not
statistically
know that.
It ranked up there with Peyton Manning in 2013. Mm-hmm. Really. It was phenomenal. That's the only reason they were in the playoffs. So while, maybe they were in the playoffs last year, I don't think it's indicative of the team that they were. Was Flacco the fourth or the fifth quarterback they started? P.J. Walker, Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
That's the third.
Deshaun.
Deshaun's the fourth.
And am I not missing somebody else?
No, that was it, because it was Flacco right after DTR.
Okay, so he was the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless. Okay, so that's four starting. That's not a season where I'm going to go, oh, we can replicate that next year.
No. This is another great text. This is from the 653. This Jeudy deal is, they can't believe it. Has he already dropped the check?
Wow. If you gave me $41 million guaranteed, the first stop I'd be making is at the bank.
I just don't understand. Again, and again, you're right that the Seahawks felt the same way as I'm sitting here today. But if you watch Jerry Jeudy play football, Matt, for more than 4 minutes, then you know there's a ton of questions about that guy's effort, his want to, just the self-pride of who he is as an NFL player. And if you did watch for more than 4 minutes and still came to the conclusion that he's worth $41 million guaranteed, well, then you're doing it wrong, Cleveland.
It depends. At the end of the contract, with the salary cap continuing to increase, it's not going to jump as much as it did this year. But at the end, it might look okay if he can maintain, you know, around 1,000 yards a season, which is basically what he's done. The difference is, for Jeudy, it just comes in, like, at least in Denver, it came in bursts. Yeah. It's like he had 2-3 good games, and then the rest of the year he had 5 or 6 stinkers, and then he had another good game. And at the end of the year, you put it all together, it looks decent, but it doesn't look like any great shakes. But if you really watched it, you knew how dysfunctional and maybe choppy it really was.
What a legacy Jerry Jeudy and Russell Wilson have left behind here, both. Moving on.
Good for Jeudy, man.
Pittsburgh,
I mean, honestly.
And Jerry.
Can't hate a guy for getting paid.
Yes, I can.
I can't hate a guy for getting paid. I hate a guy for getting paid by the team that you're rooting for. I can hate Russell Wilson for getting paid like that by the Broncos. I'm not, if the Steelers wanted to sign Russell Wilson for a giant mega deal, I'm not going to hate Russ for it.
Yeah, I guess I hate's a strong word. I think they're absolutely foolish and making the biggest mistake of all time.
Think of Jerry's feelings.
You know what? I hate the move. We'll take a timeout. Send your texts in. We've already got a couple. What Matt should ask Prime, because Matt's going to be up in Boulder tomorrow as spring practices are underway, and you guys could determine what the question is that Matt asks. Real quick, Chad texts back. He said, so cool you guys read my text. I've been listening to the fan for 20 years. Thank you, guys. Ends it with, skateboarding is not a crime.
20 years?
Yeah.
Took you 20 years to get on the fence. Maybe send a better text, Chad.
Hey, don't take shots at my guy, Chad. You want to join us like Chad did? 303-713-1043. RamosLaw.com text line. What should Matt ask Prime tomorrow? That's next.
You're listening to Stokely and Josh on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Matt Smith is in for Stoke with me, and where he got you till 2 o'clock. We got our final region of the Colorado Sports Moment bracket coming up at 1:30. But we were talking a little bit about Jerry Jeudy's new home and new deal, $41 million guaranteed by the Browns to Jerry Jeudy. But tomorrow is a big day because Matt's going to be up in Boulder. Well, you spend a lot of time in Boulder, but you're going to be up at CU for spring practices. Started yesterday, is that correct?
Yes.
And it's just, I mean, what are they doing in spring? Is it like just installs, walkthroughs? Like what's going on today?
A little bit of everything, right? You get 15 of these, so you use them wisely. This is when you get all the new transfers acclimated. This is when you get some of the incoming freshmen, right? Because there's a lot of kids
they
out
have
there.
Those?
They do. They don't have many, but they have a couple of them. I actually don't know how many incoming freshmen are in early enrollees this year.
Okay.
But typically, Prime likes to tell players that if you want to play as a freshman, you better get there in the spring, which we could have that. I think it's an interesting conversation about the trend to skip your spring semester in high school. But if you want to play at CU, you don't really have a choice. Now, that being said, CU's got a couple of four-star, really highly ranked athletes, you know, that they haven't defined their positions yet coming in Cam Michael and Draylon Miller. And those guys haven't arrived, and they anticipate those two contributing right away.
Okay.
So I guess it just depends upon your pedigree.
I actually would tend to agree with Prime on that theory. Come to Boulder.
If you want to play right away.
Skip your second semester of a senior year. It's high school. I mean, how important is that?
It's also one of you never get it back. You never get that back, though.
Right.
And there's plenty of guys who have come before and done just fine and still finished up their high school career. I get, you know, let the kid be a kid. I mean, I remember my spring semester of my senior year was pretty great. So, you know, I mean, some great memories. But again,
I actually skipped my second semester of senior year, too.
To be a D1 athlete?
To work at a daycare.
Yeah. Now all the pieces are falling into place. I'm starting to understand you much more.
I had enough credits to graduate. Why would I go to school and just hang out?
Why? Because it's a blast.
I had a great time.
At daycare?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So yes, what's happening right now, they just went through winter conditioning where they've had everybody in the weight room and everybody, you know, trying to get some of these new guys acclimated to altitude. And now you have 15 of these things. Use them wisely. You've got a new offensive scheme you're running and a new defensive scheme you're running. There's a lot to get done in 15 practices. And certainly you'll have to then, you know, the kids who don't show up in the spring or the kids who leave after the spring or enter the second transfer portal window, you're going to have to get all of those guys up to speed when the fall runs comes around. So, yes, it's big, especially for some of the receivers in Shadur and the new offensive line in Shadur.
There you go.
We're seeing Shadur do nothing but spend his free time with the O-line.
Smart man.
He is a very smart man.
All right, I asked folks to send in some questions that they want Matt to ask Prime, because he'll be up there tomorrow for a post-spring practice presser. First and about a million others are this. Matt, ask Dion what the hell he's thinking rolling with Pat Shurmur as his OC.
That is the most common one that I get from people all the time. All the time. The last time I asked him about Pat Shurmur was the last game of the year in Utah.
Oh, yeah.
I said, how do you think Pat did over the final half of the year? And he said he think he did well, considering the circumstances, considering he had to call somebody else's scheme, and he hadn't called plays in a couple of years. And then I followed that up with, do you anticipate much turnover to the coaching staff this summer? And he said a couple. And I said, well, will you be evaluating offensive coordinator among those decisions? Why would I ask that, Josh? Well, because it's pretty unconventional to demote your OC mid-year and then promote a guy who was an analyst to that position while keeping around the old OC, make them co-OC. It's not like this happens every day. And heading into next season, it was one of the biggest questions. Well, Prime told me that I was trying to shoot Pat by asking him afterwards if he would be reviewing offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I mean, he's got his guys back.
There's no doubt about that. And then he told the SID to make sure that Pat knew that I was the one asking that question. When Pat and I actually have a pretty solid relationship, so.
Oh, he snitched on you.
Yeah.
That's pretty weak on Dion's part.
All right, what else we got?
Right,
what else we got?
This has been a couple of common questions as well.
How about this? I will, if given the opportunity, I will ask what made Pat Shurmur the right choice for this position.
Okay, that's very good.
I know the answer already, but I'll ask.
This is actually for me. Do you know who took Pat's job? Who's the analyst consultant now above?
above.
Or, you know, where Pat was with...
No, I don't know who the Sean analyst
Lewis,
is.
Wasn't that his name?
No, I don't know who the analyst... They might not have even... I think they just had that position because they wanted Pat.
It was Pat.
You can have as many analysts as you want. Yeah.
Well, my thinking there is like, all right, Pat craps the bed. Who slides in? Who takes over at midway through the halfway mark of this season?
That would be interesting. Let's hope that doesn't get to that stage. I don't think it will. I don't think Pat will burn. It won't burn down under Pat Shurmur. It was the same. Do I think it was the best call? You probably have a tough time getting me to argue that it was the best call, but I think it was probably the safest.
This is from the 614. Please ask Prime, what's Shador's biggest challenge moving into the season?
Whenever I ask Prime about Shador and any challenges that face him, he always tells me that no challenges face him. Every time. He's been like this. I can tell you what he would tell me. He's been like this since he was a kid. None of this is new. I've seen him do this at every level. This isn't anything new. I'm not new to this. I'm true to this. That would be the answer.
You pretty much got that down.
Oh,
huh?
Yeah, man. He is quite predictable. He will say, you know, and to be honest, to his credit, if he were to say anything about Shador needing to get better, that would be a headline that would be run everywhere.
Yeah.
So I understand why he's sensitive to that because, yeah, I'm sure if you caught Deion without a microphone in his face, maybe he would be a little bit more honest if he trusted you. But the flip side to that coin is we know how the media business works. If he comes out and says Shador needs to get faster with this process, that is a headline on ESPN in an hour.
Exactly.
So he's just got to be careful. But yeah, that's what he would say.
I got one.
Okay.
For you to ask.
Maybe
Matt would ask. Maybe wait for the book and the book tour until there's some team success. Did you have that conversation? Go ahead. What would you say?
if I asked Deion, did he consider waiting until he had a winning season at Colorado to go on a book tour?
Yeah.
That would be a fun, he would be furious with me for asking that question, but he would also say, why would I need that? It's Deion Sanders, 21 ways to elevate and dominate. This has nothing to do with CU, even though on the front cover, it's him, you know, on the CU version of the party deck on the northeast side of Folsom Field.
You know what? You're a true pro, and you know how much of a true pro he is. He answered the question and promoted the book.
100%. 100%. I'm half expecting books to be on every seat of the desk.
I bet you're right.
Yeah.
All right, one more from the text line. This is from the 868. Matt, please ask Prime about the offensive and defensive line, what he's done to improve them. That seemed like it was the most obvious problem last year.
I definitely asked him, you know, when we were in Salt Lake City, running the ball was the biggest challenge for them, and certainly stopping the run defensively was the biggest challenge for them. And I said, how big of an emphasis is that moving into the offseason? And he said, running the ball and stopping the run are 1A and 1B. Well, they've completely gone out and rebuilt their offensive line. Mm-hmm. They did that almost immediately. I don't know if it's going to work, but the talent there is a significant improvement. So my hopes are pretty high for that side. Defensively, I get in an argument with some of the local guys up there because I don't know if he brought in enough in the front seven to make an overwhelming difference. But what he did do is he brought in some players that have been productive at Power 5 schools versus just some guys who are on Power 5 rosters. Mm-hmm. That was the case last year. Most of the transfers incoming, even the Alabama ones, those were guys who were just on the depth chart, not guys who made plays. For instance, in their front seven, they added Nwankwo. I think it's Chidoze Nwankwo, who was a interior run-stuffing D lineman from Houston who made a lot of plays. On the outside, they added Samuel Okinlola from Pitt, who was really effective getting after the quarterback. They added Quincy Wiggins from LSU, who's a big old kid at defensive end. They added a couple of other pieces. Linebacker was the one that I think we could see them add to after the spring portal.
Okay.
After the spring portal's over. But I think, how do you feel like you filled out your front seven is a pretty good question.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And it's got to be better than what it was a year ago, almost by default. So keep your question coming. We may be able to sneak a couple more in for Matt. He's going to join us after the pressers tomorrow to really tell us what he learned. So looking forward to that. All right, the other Broncos Super Bowl bracket, the region over here of the 32 most memorable Denver sports moments, is coming up next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh. Come on.
I'm pretty fired up to hear Zach and Phil later on today. Matt, I just walked by to use the restroom, and Phil goes, you believe about Jerry Jeudy? He's pretty upset about it. Pretty excited to hear the boys chat about it. He got $41 million guaranteed from the Cleveland Browns. Matt Smith in for Stoke. We were asking you guys for some questions for Matt to ask Prime. We actually got a couple extra good ones that I'll try to sneak in before the show is over.
Oh, good.
But we have to get to our bracket. Well, you know, it's just
not the actual bracket.
No, our
Josh's bracket.
That's right.
Your bracket.
Let's
just make sure we're giving credit where it's due.
Okay. It is my bracket. I seeded everything.
Yes.
We collectively came up with a list, and I just narrowed it down to 36.
Stop trying to lump me in here with your bracket, okay?
It'll be all over DenverSports.com later. You can go to my Twitter at Josh Wendover to see the bracket, and we'll pick a winner by Friday. We're over to a Broncos championship, Super Bowl victory. We're looking at the number one seed of the Broncos and the eight seed for the CSU Rams, which is the entire Sonny Lubick era. That's the eight seed here, Matt.
And what is the one seed?
The Broncos Super Bowl.
Which one?
This is the first one.
The first one?
Yes.
And this is
33, excuse me, 30. Oh, yeah, first one was our first region.
Okay. Well, the Super Bowl.
Obviously.
Yeah.
I feel kind of bad
over
for Sonny
Lubick.
But, like,
no.
You know what?
Maybe the committee should have put him up against the Pios, Mines, and Rapids.
Well, that's not a fair.
One's not fair.
Yeah. I'm going to actually add here. This is actually the Sonny Lubick era plus Becky Hammon's jersey. That's for Matt Smith, and the Broncos still
win.
The
worst bracket maker I've ever seen. All right, let's go.
All right, 4-5 is Manning's MVP season. Remember the Star Wars numbers and 55 touchdowns and all the good stuff that came. Going up against the Denver Nuggets, finding the beautiful gem in the second round of the NBA draft, landing Nikola Jokic. Peyton Manning Star Wars number season versus Joker being the 41st overall pick while a Taco Bell commercial was airing.
If the MVP season had ended in a Super Bowl win, then maybe.
But it ended real bad.
Really, really bad with a heartbreaking loss to Baltimore. You got to go Jokic because he's drafted during a Taco Bell commercial and he has become soon to be a three-time MVP and hopefully multiple-time champion. So, yeah, although I would have been interested to see Peyton signs with the Broncos here. Because that's a big one.
Oh, like landing Peyton Manning?
Yeah, it's okay. Again, a better committee would have seeded better.
Yeah. I mean, the committee.
All right, for this one, I got to go Jokic over Peyton winning MVP.
I'm going with you on that. As good as that season was and what Peyton was for 4 years, I mean, that's kind of what we're standing on here as Broncos fans, holding on to that as tightly as we can. It was a four-year window. We're on year 9 from Nikola Jokic? And he's hitting his prime? Like, this is going to sound mean, but Nikola is going to bring more to this city than Peyton did. In the 4 years of Peyton Manning, two Super Bowls and an MVP, I personally believe, that in Joker's time, 12, 13, 15, hopefully years, it'll be more than two championship appearances, and it's already more than one MVP.
It's a good question. Who will bring more? I mean, Jokic probably, because nobody else in that franchise's history has ever done that.
Yeah.
But let's not discount what Peyton did for Denver.
No, I don't want to do that by any means. I'm just saying, you know, if I had what Peyton did and what Joker did at the end of their careers, there's going to be more check marks on the Joker side.
You should play this game with Stoke when he gets
back.
Well,
I'm not going to do that.
You should do that.
We're still trying to get him to call in a damn show. Has he called yet, Kev?
Well, no, not now, because you just took Jokic over him.
Yeah.
It actually would be awesome if he called while Stoke was off.
Sorry.
Just to make him mad.
You were actually efforting to get Brandon Stokley to call in on an off day?
No. Peyton, while Stokley's off, called in. So Stokley's
it's
mad.
It's not Peyton. Let's go. Dial it up. 303-713-1043. Yeah.
Don't you think that would... I mean, Peyton would want to do it just to make Stoke mad. That he called in to talk to Josh Dover and Matt Smith.
Have you ever noticed how Stoke always teases that Peyton will come on once a year.
Yeah.
I haven't heard him on this station in maybe 10 years, a decade. So I think he's a liar. When was the last time you talked to... When was the last time? 4 or 5 years ago?
That I talked to Peyton?
When was the last time that he came on? when Stoke went into the Hall of Fame in Louisiana?
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, I had to fly to Nashville to see Peyton.
Are we starting to question how close these two really are? I know Stoke. Yeah. I mean, honestly.
Maybe.
I think maybe.
Part of me coming here was like I was going to be best friends with Peyton Manning.
That's why you came here.
Right.
That's why you chose this job. Yeah, I mean, if I do a show with Stokely, then just by osmosis, I'll be best friends with Pete.
Or the three best friends that anybody could have.
Yeah.
All right, Matt, you know what? You just had to be patient, my man, because the committee got it right. Number three, I combined a couple of things as well. Or, I mean, the committee did. Number three is Todd Helton and Larry Walker. Larry Walker being Rockies Hall of Famers. Going up against the sixth seed, that is the Broncos, signing Peyton freaking Manning. So there you go. The committee got what you were looking for. Three is Hall of Famers. Six is PFM choosing Denver.
What's bigger, a Hall of Famer or a championship?
Well, if it were any other sport or team, I would probably say Hall of Famer. But the Rockies, you know, they're just not that important.
I would say it's probably the Rockies, but I'm going to go with PFM because I don't want to respect the Rockies at all.
Kevin, would you agree?
I don't know why there's even a doubt here.
Okay.
Okay. Broncos signing PFM is a six seed?
Yeah, man.
Again,
that's like a one seed, maybe a two.
One seeds are championships.
I don't like your chances at doing well with the bracket this year. I really don't. I'll just let you know.
I'll beat you.
Oh, I don't think.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Off the air. We will negotiate terms.
All right. Final one, 2-7 is the Avs 0-1 Cup versus, this is a really strong seven seed again. I feel like our seven seeds are our 12s in the 64. But the Avs 2001 Stanley Cup versus Terrell Davis special teams tackle that turned the world on to who he was. Remember in Japan?
Yeah, no. I got it.
Okay.
Again, how'd this get a 7? I mean, Sonny Lubick gets an 8, and TD makes a special teams tackle in Japan. And no, it's the Avs 0-1 Cup.
It is?
Yes.
But then Terrell, like,
Game 7 at home? Yes. Yes, it is. It's a championship. It's the same reason why the Miracle of Michigan. Which is, now, see, you are something else. You should have put the Miracle at Michigan up against the TD special teams tackle.
Well,
that would have been more compelling. Am I right or wrong, Kizer?
Seven seeds. You don't do it like that.
Yeah, you could have made that a 4-5. You don't understand the point of your seeding doesn't make sense. The seeding doesn't matter here.
It mattered. It made perfect sense in my head yesterday.
The committee told us when the bracket got released on Sunday that the seeding doesn't matter, which is why CSU and CU got jobbed.
Hosed. We're going Avs. We got a sweet 16.
Mm-hmm. Is there any chance you guys could get this all done by tomorrow
We're going to save it for Thursday for you to be a part of it. You'll pick the final four.
Okay.
It's a lot of responsibility for Matt Smith.
I mean, I got broad shoulders.
All right, quick timeout. What are we feeling for tonight? Nuggets, Avs, and the Rams. Rams have to win or they are going home. We tell you who we like tonight next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
All right, final segment on where we at here? A Tuesday. Zach Byfield, Lindsay coming up at 2. They'll get you home if you're a late starter. We got Denver Sports tonight for you. And a little after 7 o'clock, we have the Rams and Virginia for you right here on The Fan. If you can't get in front of a TV, well, we'll take care of you with that game. And that's where I want to start, Matt. It's win or go home and win, and you get to go to the big dance and play against the big boys coming up this weekend. How are we feeling about the Rams' chances? What do we expect? Slow, kind of ugly, stuck-in-the-mud games at times? Or can Nico Medved get his crew rolling, get Isaiah Stevens facilitating, and getting everybody involved and play Ram basketball as opposed to Virginia basketball?
Ram basketball.
The Ramley up there.
It is tough to speed up Virginia and make them do anything other than what they want to do. Just by nature of how they play. They really take the air out of the ball on offense, and defensively, they'll spread you out. They make it tough to even make a point to wing pass, right? It's just they're going to make you work twice as hard for your typical action. Now, this is a down year for Virginia. I mean, this is a team with Tony Bennett, who has perennially been a team that makes a deep, deep run. They're good defensively, but they lack firepower. To me, this game comes down to how well Colorado State shoots the three. If CSU can get out to a good start, right, if they can get out to a good lead, like against, was it Nevada? Yeah, I think it was Nevada. They had the 9-point lead, but could have been 15 at half. Mm-hmm. And I thought it could burn them. And it almost did, because Nevada came storming back. They just don't have a ton of... If CU's going to trade baskets, you probably beat CSU. Or excuse me, if CSU's going to trade baskets, you're probably beating CSU, because they just don't have a great ability to score the basketball unless they're shooting well. So if they're shooting well, like if you get Palmer making threes, Lake making threes, what's the kid, Roach making threes, if you get the supporting cast to come and play, then I think you take some of that pressure off Isaiah Stevens, so late in the game he can make the plays, the requisite plays you need. It'll be a close game. The line has actually moved towards CSU on this
one.
Yeah, Virginia's about a 3-point dog today. I think this is going to be a challenge. I've got UVA at least to cover the spread tonight. Look, I mean, you're talking about Reese Beekman, senior guard, ACC Defensive Player of the Year, second team All-ACC, All-ACC Defensive Team, and then one of their guards, Ryan Dunn, also made All-ACC Defensive Team. So
that's a fun matchup for Stevens. Both sides.
Really fun matchup for Stevens. Clifford's going to have to play well, and he didn't make the All-Mountain West Defensive Team. I don't know how that didn't happen, because specifically in that Nevada game, I mean, he maybe made like 8 plays alone in the second half that ended Nevada possessions. So, low-scoring affair tonight. The total's around like 121 right now. I do have Virginia tonight. I just think that they're happier to be there. They're hungrier. And, look, once you get in the tournament, all bets are off. I hope I'm wrong. I do hope I'm wrong. I'm really rooting for Nico.
What you said about shooting the three is spot on. That's an Achilles heel for him. I do like Isaiah Stevens. So he has an ability to create his own shot, and he's a decent shooter mid-range. You know, I'm not right home about what he does from the three-point line, but I like that of, hey, play a little bit more of Ram-style basketball. It can get into half-court sets if that's what it wants to be on the Virginia side, but CU does have to capitalize. You have to score in those half-court sets. It's got to be Isaiah penetrating and kicking out, then you got to hit the threes. Or if the help doesn't come on the penetration from Isaiah, well, he's got to finish at the rim or pull up short for one of those jump shots that he's so good at making. So I look at it the other way. I still think it's going to be a tight game. I think the Rams can win it. But just as you said, if Virginia comes out of this and claims the 10 seed, it's not like I'm going to be shocked.
Well, Virginia's not going to blow anybody out. They play at a pace that's way too slow to blow anyone out. So Colorado State should have a chance. But you could see a game where, man, you just couldn't get it past a 5-point deficit. You know, one of those where you just keep clawing and fighting. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I think CSU is the better offensive team. If they play up to their capabilities, they should win this game. It's just this time of year, all bets are off. Now, it helps that they have tournament experience from last year. And I don't think they're going to be too discouraged by the fact that they're in the first four. But it is still Virginia. I mean, they hold opponents to 59.5 points per game. So if you can win just an absolute, haymaker fest, which is what it should be, because every basket's going to feel like it weighs the weight of the world tonight, then maybe CSU can get it done.
I think you called it a slobber knocker earlier, I really like that term.
Knockdown, drag out, whatever you want to call it.
Slobber knocker is always a good one. What did Miko have to say about being familiar with Bennett and Virginia?
I have some ties there. I'm really close with Dick Bennett, and I know the Bennetts, and that's going to be kind of a, to be honest, kind of a bittersweet game to play, but one I'm excited about.
Excuse me. So, yeah, he's familiar a bit there with what's going on. There's always that talk, who knows who a little bit better. Not a ton of ties, but I just look at it as what you've said, that style of play. We're all familiar with it. How to see you counter that and make Virginia play a little bit more of their game. We're going to see. And I also said I think it's a letdown and a disappointing season if this is how it ends for this class, for Isaiah Stevens and Nico tonight.
It'll be a game that comes down to the last 5 minutes. I'm pretty confident in saying that. I don't think that this is the same Colorado State team that we saw in November and December, but they're still a good team. They're led by arguably the best player in program history in Isaiah Stevens. So you know that he's going to not want to go too quietly into that sweet night.
What kind of player is Isaiah in the NBA?
We'll see.
He'll get a shot.
Yeah, he'll get a shot. He might have to spend a little time in the G League. I don't know, man. You got to be a dude if you're a guard to stick in the league at point guard. So he's a little undersized. He's a good scorer for college. I'm not so sure that he's going to be that type of dude. Isaiah Stevens is the perfect candidate to have a breakout summer league. Summer league is going to be really important for him. Training camp's going to be really important for him. And again, I could see him starting in the G League. Although, would you rather have Isaiah Stevens or Jalen Pickett?
Isaiah Stevens.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Because he's a better passer.
Big Pickett guy.
Yeah, he's a better passer. So something like that. But he's a Jalen Pickett level kind of guy.
Yeah, and he's a backup point guard that's gonna come in and play 10 minutes a night.
Yeah, second round pick. Late second. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Best Colorado pro prospect is
probably Cody Williams based upon potential.
Yeah.
Potential. Based upon potential.
It's a ways away.
Yeah. No, you're gonna have to put him, again, you say yesterday that he might not spend time in the G League. I don't know that they're going to have a choice. They got to get him in a weight program. They got to get him. I just don't know how much development you really have when you don't practice, which NBA teams don't really practice during the season. So for him, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, they don't even shoot arounds.
But it would probably be Cody for right now.
Okay. I still can't get over what we talked about yesterday with Tristan. Tristan has everything. And it just seems like he doesn't care.
He has most everything.
Well, he has what you need.
The mental side of the game, I don't know about.
Well, that's the issue. Yeah, that's the problem there. All right, so big one tonight, and then these Buffaloes that we're chatting about, they will be in action tomorrow night against Boise State, which, of course, we will break down and get you ready for tomorrow during the show. Nuggets are in action. They'll take on Minnesota. It's 7 o'clock. It's supposed to be on NBA TV. I don't know all the rules. Does that mean it's blacked out?
It's not here. Okay. Just to make that safe assumption,
okay.
And then we can move on from there. Assume you won't be able to watch a game on television if you don't have the requisite channels.
And then if it is, it's a pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
It's questionable between Anthony Edwards, Rudy Gobert, and Naz Reid for the Minnesota Timberwolves. They were also in action last night and had the dunk of the evening, or really hard layup of the evening. I'm feeling really good about this. What scares me a little bit is it's the last game of a road trip. And Denver's looking forward to being home after a week-long four-game road trip. But it's a big one. You're right there in contention. I think, the little rivalry that is Minnesota and Denver right now, Tim Conley over there. I don't know if that helps the Timberwolves more so than the Nuggets, but there's a little bit of extra juice in it. I like the Nuggets to handle some business tonight. Minnesota hadn't played a lot of back-to-backs yet this season, Matt. Their post-All-Star break schedule was certainly much tougher than pre-All-Star break schedule. So I'm rolling with Denver tonight. Not sure. Yeah, actually, I'm going Denver and Joker triple-double.
Are you going triple-double tonight? Yeah. You know, this is an interesting schedule because the Nuggets have been on the road, but so have the Minnesota Timberwolves. Check this out. They just had a six-game road trip, including back-to-back games in Utah, not back-to-back days. But tonight is the second night of a back-to-back, and they host Denver in the second night of a back-to-back, missing Karl Anthony Towns, which I think is fascinating because if you look at this Minnesota team, they're a half game back of the number one seed in the West, and they lost, their second best player like 2 weeks ago. So they have been able to stem the tide without him. But tonight, when you look at this type of a matchup, this is the first of three matchups the Nuggets have before the regular season ends with Minnesota. You get a chance to beat up on a little bit of a banged up team, Josh. Mm-hmm. You have to capitalize on these opportunities when they present themselves. And we look at Denver's strength of schedule down the stretch. It's like 24th, 25th.
I'll tell you what it is.
KKFN,
AC1 Long about Denver.
That's all right. You get that one.
Sorry, I couldn't let you win two days in a row.
No, because I was. I was going to win. It's okay. It's all right.
All right. So
the point is, yeah. before we get distracted, I love the fact that Towns is out, and obviously don't want to root for anybody to be injured, but let's just get that out of the way. The Nuggets don't need any more complication on their way to getting the one seed. You can just deal with Rudy Gobert. That's fine. Jokic is eating his lunch since he's come into, even before Jokic was Jokic, he was still eating Rudy Gobert's lunch. Like, don't you remember at the beginning, Jokic struggled with the big athletic bigs.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis would kill him, you know, he would struggle. Even DeMarcus Cousins at the beginning was all over him. But he always, to me, seemed to have Rudy Gobert's number.
One of my favorite Joker quotes is against Rudy Gobert.
What was that?
Rudy was a member of the Jazz, mm-hmm. and Joker's killing him all night long, and Joker gets the ball in the post. This is in the game, in action, Matt, and a double team comes over. Rudy waved them away, said, I got this. As Nicole is getting ready to spin move for an easy little layup on Rudy, he says, I have 47, brother.
Mm-hmm.
You need the help. That is the direct quote from Nikola Jokic, and it is one of the most beautiful quotes of all time. So feeling good about where the Nuggets are, feeling good about where the Avalanche are. It is going to be Annan in net. They're going to give Georgiev the night off.
Hmm?
Georgiev?
There you go.
The night off after a couple of big wins in overtime. I like what you said earlier, too, but probably the best back-to-back wins all season with what was at stake here. And I feel just as good about the Avalanche chances tonight with Annan in net that I would with Georgiev in net. That's how much the goalie conversation has tempered for me.
Yeah. Look, I was really encouraged, and I brought this up to you yesterday. The player that I had my eye on the closest heading into that matchup with Edmonton was Georgiev, because I think you could make the argument that over the last 2 or 3 weeks or so, Anunin's been the better player.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also seen more opportunity because in a condensed period of time, because they were trying to evaluate whether or not he was going to be goalie two for the playoffs or their backup. But now you get Georgiev settled again. You bring in Anunin. It's a road game against the Blues. You really don't lack any motivation when you play the Blues. That's a pretty easy one to get up for, especially because not only are they in your division, but they're also making their own mini little, you know, back-end playoff push. So we'll see how it goes. That's 6 o'clock puck drop tonight.
Did you hear Mike Evans' take? I thought it was very good today.
Really? He had one today, huh?
Yeah, right. That the Blues actually lose in overtime, so they get the 1 point to keep themselves in contention in that wild card conversation.
So the Avs hand the Blues a point by just taking it to OT?
Pretty
saying
much.
They're tanking the game?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
That's what he's saying.
And you thought that was a good one, huh?
Yeah, anything to get St. Louis in the postseason so we could sweep their asses in round one.
Oh, you're saying let's give them a point.
Yeah,
so
yes,
we can.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
All right, I'm in favor.
Okay, all right.
I'm in favor.
Zach Bye, Philip Lindsay sliding in there. The drive and going to take you home today. Gentlemen, I'll ask you what we kicked around a little bit earlier. Bigger rivalry tonight, Avs, Blues, Nuggets, Timberwolves.
Mm.
Nuggets, Timberwolves.
You do think so?
I do. I do. Because I think it's a little bit more long-standing than this iteration of Avs, Blues. You go back to 2017. It's Nuggets, T-Wolves, game 82. Winner goes to the playoffs. And at the time, I remember saying, man, this is, I think, is a big game. Not to because the Nuggets weren't going to do anything in the playoffs. But I, knowing the history of the NBA, and saying there's value in getting swept. I remember saying that. I said there's value in getting swept. You know, and I remember Shaq and Kobe getting swept by the Jazz.
Mm.
And when they're at the end of their run. And there was value in that. The scars, they build up. And I don't think the Blues, and help me if I'm wrong on this, I don't think the Blues and Avs go back to 2017, but you can actually go, and this iterations. Like, Cat was there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? And Jokic was here and Jamal was here. So there's still like remnant of that beef from 2017.
Yeah, the way I described it was Minnesota and Denver, the Nuggets Timberwolves, is by far a bigger game.
Yeah.
By far a bigger game.
Yeah.
I think the rivalry itself, Avs Blues, we go back to 01. Like there's a lot of history there. However, to your point, that Blues team is, they're rebuilding. It is not the team that you just played in the playoffs a couple of years ago and a couple of years before that. So I tend to agree with you. Much bigger game. I absolutely despise the St. Louis Blues, as you well know. So, and they still have somebody that I can't stand either.
I think that's the biggest part of it. Is Jordan Bennington still on the team?
Yeah.
And the whole market has sports hate for that.
Yeah. And now, if you want to go back to like before these cores and go back.
Agreed.
But here's the big thing. The guy who is building the Timberwolves built the Nuggets.
Right.
Like
the evil story.
Like, very rarely in the NBA does a team president leave an organization for another. a lateral move on their way to a title.
You're when they're peaking.
That was so unusual. And I don't, I mean, my brain is turned on. It's got to be money. Why would you leave this situation? The Kroenkes weren't going to pay him what the Timberwolves offered him.
Money and power.
Yep. He looked like a joke to the rest of the league this time last year after the Rudy Gobert trade because they traded four unprotected first-round picks. It's like, how stupid could you be? But now when this team is fully comprised and healthy, it's like, oh.
Well, let's see what they can do.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I'm not fully sold yet that he made the right move.
And they're both tied in the standings, right? I mean, it's unequivocally a bigger game.
Yes. Yeah. And if you're judging it by, like, right move, who's going to win a championship, it's doubtful the Timberwolves go and win a championship. But they gave him that rare combination. It wasn't just money. They gave him a piece of the organization, which is just incredibly rare. Just in general.
You can't say no to that.
Yeah, right.
In any sport, will we ever have a rivalry like the Avalanche and the Red Wings? Mm-hmm. I've been starting to watch that documentary.
Oh, that's awesome.
Matt, will we ever have something like that here in Colorado with any kind of rivalry from the basketball to football back to hockey?
They don't really let sports get out of hand like that anymore.
No.
You know,
no.
The true hate, the true violence, we've kind of taken that out of the game. It would have to be something organic that comes up. Kind of like that, when Footer got tagged against the boards.
Right.
He's leaking all over the ice, yeah. And that's what happened there. But hockey's not violent like that anymore. I don't think we'll see rivalries like that anymore, especially where would you see them in college?
Well, I was going to say, just in pro sports, it's changed. We don't see the same rivalries. No. I mean, shoot, we got coaches for the Broncos who don't want to go on record and say the Raiders like are a rival. Like,
I can still work for them.
Yeah, like I could one day work. But it actually speaks to the nature of pro sports. And what is maybe the biggest difference about pro sports now than 25 years ago is the transient nature of the players.
Mm-hmm.
They're just more on the move, mm-hmm. especially in basketball and the NFL. So across the board. So I think because of that, it's not, you don't have these cores that are together for 4 or 5 years that they remember stuff that happened 3 years ago and they're waiting for that get back.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't think it's, you know, pro sports have changed and I don't think for the better in that regard.
Yeah. Yeah. The last time that there was a brawl on the football field, it was Tlaib with the Raiders, right?
Oh, with Michael Crabtree.
Oh, organic.
You know, I'm with you guys.
But even that ended with just those two guys, right? It wasn't like all of a sudden here's a reigniting of the Broncos Raiders rivalry.
Right.
See, they try to embed it in us. When I was with Denver, I remember sitting there and us watching highlights before the game, the night before the game, about why it's important to beat the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
So they try, but it just doesn't feel like it did back in the day. There's just nothing there. There's nothing that's just saying, like, I hate this guy.
There was.
Like, I truly want to go out there and hit him hard.
LSU, South Carolina. Last weekend, right? The girls?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They were
basketball.
Good.
Yeah, they were. They were going at it.
No, like, real punches, but.
Yeah.
A shove down to the ground.
I mean, when's the last time we saw a true brawl? Like a real brawl where, you know, we've seen guys throw punches. I'm thinking of, who is that, Batista, member for the Blue Jays? Or,
yes.
Rugnet Odor.
Oh, he passed him at second base. Yeah.
So we've seen guys get hit, but, like, multiple willing three or more guys throwing punches.
Doesn't really happen. No, they don't let it get there. Hey, before we get out of here, we got to ask. What was your reaction, Mr. Zach Bye, to 3 years, up to $58 million with 41 guaranteed for one Jerry Jeudy?
You know, I was listening to part of the conversation coming in, and I thought you did a good job of kind of laying out Jeudy's Denver experience, where if you just look at the numbers, it actually kind of reminds me of Russ. If you just look at the numbers, it can kind of
tells a different story.
It repackages what actually happened. Because if you're watching on a down-to-down basis, you knew the Broncos offense was terrible and Russ was not close to what we thought we were getting here. Jeudy, kind of similar. You look at the numbers, like you see like a 974-yard season. I think it was the tops here in Denver.
Six touchdowns.
But if you actually watch the games, his impact, he's not a great football player. He's just not. Now, he can run routes, and every 3 weeks he's going to make a play. But I remember my college basketball coach, Brian Beery, New York State Hall of Famer. He'd say, like, and he'd make a inappropriate for nowadays, like, he'd basically say, like, what would you rather have? A 10 who comes home with you once or twice a month, or a 7 who's there for you every single night? And I know that's maybe, you know, a little passe, but Judy is the once a month guy.
Yeah.
He's once a month, and he'll tickle that fantasy of his potential and his ceiling and, you know, all this stuff. And it's like, but if you actually watch the games, he'll drive you mad.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, RG3 about Russ, like, well, you know, I watched every play and he's still awesome. It's like, did you really though? Mm-hmm. Did you have to sit through the 30 seconds in between plays when you were let down? And Judy's the same way. He just drives me nuts. And I think by the end of that contract, the people in Cleveland will despise Jerry Jeudy. That's my prediction for it.
They're going to give between Deshaun Watson and Jerry Jeudy $291 million guaranteed.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Unreal.
Matt, I don't get it, man.
No, are you jealous or you don't get it?
Nah.
A little bit of both.
I mean, he's a receiver, you know.
You can't hate on a guy for getting his money. Nothing wrong with Jeudy.
Actually, you can.
The biggest part is
it just shows
that, like, you could be a first-round draft pick and pretty much be guaranteed that you're going to have unlimited opportunities and get paid when you finally do something good, if you ever do that. Because it always seems like when you're a first-round draft pick, money always flows to you. You know, the opportunities always flow to you because they're always trying to figure out why you were that first-round draft pick. No matter how good or how bad you do, they're going to give you that opportunity.
Does that ever leave you?
I don't think so. I mean, look.
You'd really have to flame out, which Jeudy hasn't totally flamed out.
No.
He still tickles that fantasy of the upside.
But give it like Melvin Gordon. He finds a way to always find a way on the team. He hasn't done well in multiple years.
Mm-hmm.
But I guarantee this year he'll be on another team somewhere.
You think so? I think it's out.
I think he's out.
I think finally.
He'll have a podcast by September.
Yes.
For sure.
Melly Mel's corner.
Yes. Yes. Melly yes. Mel. Yeah. Two stories.
You should start it with him.
I Jeudy, and if you're Cleveland, there's enough dysfunctional in Denver where you could talk yourself into, yeah, you know, I know she's been that way with these other guys, but like it could be different with
me. They're blaming Denver. That's what the Browns look like they're doing. They're blaming Denver. They're blaming Russ.
It's actually a state
Pittsburgh
of,
just did it with Russ.
It's a harsh reality of a state
Calm
of the Broncos.
Calm down now, Matt.
That the Browns are saying, they don't know what they're doing in Denver. We'll fix them over here.
But you could just let him ride out the fifth-year option.
I don't understand. It doesn't make sense to me. If he's playing that great, you can go to him during the season and figure something out, but it's trying to beat something to the punch that may not be coming. Why not just see what comes and then react to what comes?
Put some pressure on the guy to go prove it first. I don't understand. There's no, and this is what I said, there's no justification that you could give me for giving him that contract that I think would make sense and make me go, oh, you know what? I didn't think of it that way.
No. Welcome to the NFL, boys. Welcome to the NFL.
Well, it's one of these things that typically, if you've kind of been a headache and you've been a little bit of a, you know, butthead.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to get paid.
Well, what I'm saying is typically that behavior doesn't get better when you get the bag.
Right.
Antonio Brown was on his best behavior for 4 years. And then a lot of these times, like, and Jeudy has enough stuff to point to off the field and on the field, but that's not really on the field, like ranting on the sideline and throwing off your helmet and bumping a ref and, you know, whatever. But in addition to some of the knucklehead cryptic tweets and getting arrested and the stuff, I just wonder from a maturity standpoint if he loses his way even more, or not loses his way, but feels even more emboldened to, I'm going to do me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
He's comfortable.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, there's two things from that. There's two things. You get paid a lot of money, you get comfortable. Or you get paid a lot of money, and now you're sitting here saying, I got to go produce because I don't want to be considered that bus. They gave me all this money to go out there and show that I am worth every single penny. Now, I don't know how Jerry's going to be. You know, but I know that that's somebody's mindset out there. It's like you get this money and you're happy, but also you're nervous now because everybody's looking at you to go out there.
And
the first time that you give up a big play, they're looking at you like, we paid this man all that money.
Oh, yeah.
Like Russell Wilson situation.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We paid you all this money to do that?
Yes. And you are looked at as a pro athlete through the lens of your draft status and finances.
Yeah. Yep.
That's just the way it is. So pack a lunch. You know, this is going to be that Jeudy experience in Cleveland is going to be interesting.
Real quick, what kind of wide receiver would ever put his hands on a ref? You know?
I thought about it. I'm a running back. When I go to jail or when I just get fined.
One is worth it.
I want to tell you guys, in 48 minutes from now.
Yeah.
Tad Boyle is coming on the show.
Nice.
All right. Hey. Tad Boyle is coming on the show. That is at 3 o'clock sharp. You're not going to want to miss that as they tip off tomorrow night. We got CSU. We're going to talk to a CSU correspondent, tell you what you need to know before tip off. But in the meantime, Bud Black's extension talks got us thinking, what is the current hierarchy among coaches here in Denver sports? That's where we'll start coming up next.